In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, our love must grow in wisdom. Philippians 1 verse 9. The Philippians were a wonderful bunch of Christians, one of the best churches that Paul found. He had tremendous words of appreciation for this church. And he said, I thank God for you and many things like that. But he says, in spite of all their good things, is I pray in verse 9, Philippians 1, 9, that your love must grow more and more in discernment, that is in wisdom. Our love must grow in wisdom. Because there's a lot of foolish love. A lot of parents, for example, are very foolish in their love sometimes towards their children. Give them a whole lot of things, give the children a whole lot of things that ruin them. Lots and lots of video games to ruin them. You think that's love? That's love without discernment. Allow their children to go to places and things which are not good. Love must grow. The parents love their children, but there's no wisdom there. And the children are ruined. I've seen lots of children of believers in India and in this country who've gone astray, ruined, not because their parents did not love them. The parents loved them, spent a lot of money on them, their clothes, education, everything. But there was no wisdom. It's better to have less gifts that we give and more wisdom in our dealing with our children. Likewise with one another. In husband and wife relationships, I'm sure all of you husbands and wives here, I believe all of you love each other. I don't doubt it. If you belong to this church, I'm sure you love your husband, you love your wife. But I don't know whether you're always wise in the way you speak to your husband or your wife. That I don't know. Or the way you deal with your husband or wife. It may not be with wisdom. And so Paul says there's no lack of your love, but your love must grow in wisdom. And we must pray for that. Lord, let my wisdom increase. And here is a promise that you can claim. James and chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? Ask God. You can study the Bible, you get a lot of wisdom from the Bible. But in some practical situation, you need to ask God, what shall I do here? How shall I handle this situation? How shall I deal with my son or daughter in this situation? I love my son or daughter tremendously, but what I need is wisdom. It says, let him ask God, do you lack wisdom? Do you lack wisdom in relating to some brother or sister who is a little difficult? Or some relative who's a little difficult? Ask God. And it says here, God is not stingy. He may not give you all the money that you need, which you think you need. In his wisdom, he may not give you, because he thinks that money will ruin you. Just like we don't give money to small children, it'll ruin them. So God also doesn't give money, but he gives us wisdom. Wisdom he'll never stop giving. It says here, God will give generously. If there's one thing God gives generously, overflowing, it is wisdom. And he will not rebuke you, it says. It's a beautiful verse. He will not rebuke you. Sometimes we tell our children, oh, how many times have I told you not to do that? Or how many times have I told you to do that? The Lord never tells us like that. Imagine if the Lord began to speak to us like that. How many times I told you not to do that? Or how many times I told you? We get discouraged. Our children get discouraged when you say that all the time to them. He never says it. What does it mean, without reproach? Without reproach means you come to him for the 1,000th time concerning the same matter. Say, Lord, give me some wisdom here. He will not say, I've already told you 1,000 times. He'll never say that. Without reproach. Be encouraged that if you ever go to God saying, Lord, I'm a bit stupid here. I don't know what to do. I've always done a lot of foolish things in my relationship with my wife or husband or my brother-in-law or mother-in-law or X, Y, Z. We've done a lot of foolish things. Lord, please give me some wisdom. It says, he, first of all, he will not rebuke you. And second, he'll give you as much as you want. And some of you are children. You also need to learn how to speak to your parents. Your children need to learn how to speak to your parents in humility. One of the biggest characteristics of wisdom is humility. True wisdom is always humble. The wisest person that walked on earth, you know who that was? Jesus. And he was the humblest. Wisdom and humility go together. So pursue after humility and you'll have wisdom too. So ask and God will give without blaming you. He will give you generously. That means if you ask him for £1, he'll give you £100 of wisdom. I believe that. But it says there's one condition. There's only one condition. Verse 6. You must ask in faith without doubting. Don't go to God and say, Lord, I want wisdom here, but I'm not too sure whether you'll give it to me. I'll tell you now itself, you won't get it. Don't even waste your time asking. You go to God and say, Lord, this is a very tough situation and I really need a lot of wisdom, but I'm not too sure you'll give it to me. I'll tell you now itself, you won't get it. Don't waste your time asking. Let him ask in faith without doubting. Father, you are my dad. I'm not asking for money or honor or position. I'm asking so that in this difficult situation, I will act in a Christ-like way. You want to act in a Christ-like way and you mean to say God will not give you? Of course he'll give you. Why do you doubt some difficult situation you're facing and maybe a decision you have to take? And you want to take a Christ-like decision in that situation. And God sees your sincere desire to act in a Christ-like way and to take a Christ-like decision. Why should you condemn yourself saying, oh, I'm not good enough. You may not be good enough, but God is good. Believe that he'll give you what you don't deserve. You don't deserve an answer, but he'll give you an answer. That is faith. Faith is to believe that even if I don't deserve it, he'll give it to me. Not because I deserve it, but because he is a good God. I don't get gifts from God because I deserve it. Christ did not come to earth because we deserved it. No. Christ came to earth to prove that God is good. And when God gives me an answer, it's not because I'm good, it's because he's good. So please remember that as we break bread today. Lord, what shall we judge ourselves for today? I think lack of faith. We don't think of that as a sin. You know, when you don't trust somebody, it's one of the greatest insults you can make, give him. Supposing your wife came and told you, I don't trust you. That's worse than slapping you. Or if your husband tells you, darling, I love you a lot, but I don't trust you. Much better that he slaps you than to tell you he doesn't trust you. See how serious that is in human relationships? And I go to God and ask him for something. I'm not too sure whether you'll give it to me, Lord. It's like slapping him in the face. Let him ask in faith without any doubt. Because it says if you're in doubt, you're like the, you know, the froth on the top of the sea, the waves, that surf that gets tossed around this way, that way, He says, you'll never get anything. And here is a promise from the Lord for such people. There is a promise for such people who doubt. Here it is. Verse 7. You will get nothing. It's also a promise. You will get zero from God. Did you know there was a promise like that? Here it is in verse 7. That man need not expect to get anything. Do you realize now, my brother, sister, by some situations you got zero from God? Even though you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, you got zero. You know the answer now. You didn't believe that He loved you enough to give you the best. You kept on thinking how good you are. Will God give it to me? You're not good enough. Forget it. Think of how good He is. He gives you because He's good, not because you're good. And He sees you in Christ.